Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for sharing up front so far. If you would like to get a Bible, just pop your hand up in the air. The stewards will get you one. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and that's on page 1242 of the Church Bibles, page 1242. If you're in your own Bible, it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. It's a great night to share with those who have returned from summer missions. Well, some of them have returned from being in another part of the world and returning to their country here. Others, a bit like Paul, probably walked out the Oak Hall up the stairs, up to his flat up the stairs. Joined from the south coast back to Scotland. It's not all been overseas things, but these have been a crucial point in these folks' lives. You know, Dave was saying there, 14 years at Buxton, real heart for the folks at Buxton. I wonder how you all felt when what you were doing came to an end, or when you stepped off the plane. What were you thinking? What were the feelings of emotions that were going on? What were you about to do next? And maybe direction in life is something that was required. Now, if you aren't any of those who were standing up here at the front, maybe you're at a crossroads in your life. Maybe decisions have to be made. Maybe you need God's direction. Maybe it's not a crossroads. Maybe it's just a really bumpy road. It's a struggle just to get through life at the moment. Or maybe your nose is flat against the wall and you just feel as though you've hit a dead end. These are the issues that we need to turn to God on and find some direction for. And I hope whether you return from doing something and have had those thoughts and emotions and convictions about what to do next, that you'll find some help from God's word tonight. And equally, if you're just here as a visitor or a regular at Carruthers and your circumstances of life need direction from God, that you'll be helped as we look at God's word together. Let's pray and then let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3 verses 1 to 5. Lord, thank you for your word into our lives. And thank you, Lord, for the real and present need for your direction on the course of our lives. Lord, our hearts so much need the direction of the living God. Our minds need to have their compass reset. Our wills need to be set toward you. And Lord, their emotions, which can often be all over the place, are in need of you reminding us that they are part of who you've made us to be. And so, Lord, would you help us at these times in our lives, whether returning from overseas or finding ourselves having done a mission here in Edinburgh and gone back to work, or loving and living amongst the neighbours that we live and work amongst, or whether, Lord, adventure holidays and the adrenaline rush that that brings and just decisions need to be made for the future. Lord, and all that multiplicity of things, we pray, Lord, tonight that you would lead and give us direction, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Literally 2 minutes, quick fire tour of 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, probably around about AD 51. That's less than 20 years after Jesus died and rose again. Paul and Silas and Timothy carried the gospel to the Greek city of Thessaloniki. Still exists today. We know it as Thessalonica, but the city's still there. You can go and see it. You can go return to Acts chapter 17, and you can find out what happened when they took the gospel there in AD 51. The amazing thing was that many of those in that city became believers. But here's the thing. Paul and Silas had to escape because of a riot and narrowly escaped with their lives. Now, if all seven of you want to stand up again, I could ask you personally, was there a riot? And did you escape by the skin of your teeth? Probably not. Although inside your heart, there may have been some of those similar emotional battles going on. Well, within a year, Paul wrote a couple of letters, probably later on AD 51, AD 52, wrote a couple of letters for those new believers in Thessalonica, concerned that those believers might fall away due to the heavy opposition that they were facing, pushing them away from Jesus. Life was tough. And so he sends his good friend Timothy, who returns with a great report. Even in the midst of the hassles of life, Timothy returns with a great report, and Paul writes to express joy for the fact that these folks were continuing in Jesus. Well, as we need direction in our lives, I hope you are continuing. I hope you have a desire to continue. And when the difficulties come, I hope we don't just turn to ourselves, but we turn to the one who can give us direction and help in life. What I want us to do tonight is to turn to these five verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And hopefully it's a good place for us to start. And so I've got three helpful observations for us tonight that will hopefully resonate with your heart as you hear what Scripture says, as you're looking for direction for your heart, for your mind, for your will, for your emotions, for who God has made you, that you might live and follow him and continue to follow Jesus. Or if you're not following him yet, that you would choose to become like those in Thessalonica who chose to believe in the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's read these five verses together. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 5. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we command. And may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. So here's the first helpful observation that I see from this passage that will hopefully help and resonate with your heart as your heart and my heart need direction from God, whatever the circumstances of our life is at this time. And so the first thing that I want to suggest is we see here a request for prayer from the Apostle Paul and from his team. They make it clear that they need the prayers of those in Thessalonica. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Certainly for the Apostle Paul, that phrase, pray for us, and his admission of his need for prayer was just an inner conviction that the Apostle Paul had. Listen to this verse from Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. He says, in the midst of troubling times that he was facing, he says this, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance, my salvation, my sanctification, my glorification." Well, it's the expanded version, but that's what he's saying. He's saying, your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ with me can cause the happening situation to change my heart. It delivers, it saves, it sanctifies, it grows me. I don't understand how all that works, but Paul certainly was convinced and had an inner conviction, and he shared that with his team, and they asked the people at Thessalonica to pray for them. Pray for us. So what was it they asked others to pray for? Two things, we're told. The rapid spread and the honouring of the message of the Lord. And the second thing, the deliverance from evil, wicked people, because not everyone has faith. Those were the two things that right at the front of the Apostle Paul's mind were the things that needed to be prayed for. Can I suggest to you by way of application tonight, as we try and get direction for our own hearts, that the first request out of our mouths should be, pray for me. Our conviction should be the same conviction as the Apostle Paul's was, that the prayers of other people and the provision of God's Spirit in Jesus Christ would turn out for our deliverance. That's why we need to be asking others to pray for us. That should be the first request out of our mouths. Pray for us. I need you. And I need your prayers. And I need you to pray for me. And what should we be asking others to pray for? Well, can I suggest that we should be asking others to pray for the rapid spread and honouring of the message of the Lord here. Never mind the world at this point. Here. That's where the rapid spread of the word of God has got to go, first of all. In my life and in yours. That's what we should be asking each other to pray for. And we should be asking too, not just for deliverance from evil people, because not many have faith, says the Apostle Paul. But we should be asking for deliverance from the evil here, because we're more wicked than we ever realized. Our minds are likely to go askew. Our emotions are all over the place. And our wills often bent against God. And so there's the first observation that hopefully will resonate in our hearts as we look for direction from God. A request for prayer. And here's the second observation that I suggest to us that hopefully will resonate in our hearts as we need them to be directed by the Lord. And it's a reminder of God's faithfulness. You see the phrase right at the beginning of verse 3? But the Lord is faithful. Someone else might be unfaithful. We may not feel faith-filled. But that doesn't change the fact that the Lord is faithful and always will be. The church in Thessalonica is reminded here about both who God is and what God does. But the Lord is faithful. That's who he is. And here's what he does. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. God is not just faithful, but he is the one who strengthens because he's stronger. He is the one who protects because he is able to protect us from evil. Anytime I read about strength and protection, my mind always goes to Psalm 23. It always goes to the Shepherd King, the one who stands beside me with his rod and staff. And as that Christian that we've just been singing about in our last song, who might be prone to grow weary in our love or lack faith or be tempted when Satan comes, I need the Shepherd King just as you need the Shepherd King. I need him to have the rod that fights for me and with me. That's what the rod of the shepherd was for, to fight off the wolves. And I need him as I and as you and I are struggling in the fight to fight for us, to hold us fast. But I also need the Shepherd King who has his staff, who is ready to pull me as the straying sheep out of the ditch, to hook his staff around my neck so that I don't fall into the ditch. And I need that Shepherd King, and you need that Shepherd King. To hold on to your life. He is the one who is faithful. He He is the one who strengthens, and he is the one who protects. And here's an application for us. Is it not great to have someone remind us of who God is? I've had a rotten week, but the Lord's faithful. He's faithful. He is. Yeah, but it's been a bumpy road, and I just feel like giving up. But God is faithful. What does he do? He strengthens you. He will protect you. And surely the fact that God is faithful and that he's our strengthener and he is our protector is motivation itself and surely a means for us continuing as he walks with us to fight for us and as he holds on to us. There's nothing, the thing that's alongside someone reminding us of who God is and what God does is actually to be that reminder yourself of others. Not just waiting on others reminding you, but us taking the initiative to remind them. That's the second observation that hopefully will reset our hearts. And then the third observation from the passage here is there's a response in prayer, verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. The Apostle Paul prays for God's direction in response to all that's going on in this situation in Thessalonica and in his life. And often when we think about God's direction, we're probably wishing that he would just put a scroll out and say, right, tomorrow, here's what you have to do. Next week, here's what you have to do. And the week after that, here's what you're to do. But in actual fact, what God often does for us is he needs us to have direction of look. That's the way I would put it. He wants us to look up before we look sideways. And so in actual fact, rather than thinking, right, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, what's it going to be? God says, you know, the best thing to do is to look up. Your heart needs direction this way. Your mind needs direction this way. Your will needs directed this way. Your emotions need to be centered this way. See what he says? Here's his prayer and his encouragement for the Thessalonians to pray and for us to pray. May the Lord direct your hearts. Two ways: into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. Notice nothing horizontal, all vertical. First look, God's love, Christ's perseverance. Even before we think about persevering ourselves, and even before we think about loving others ourselves, may the Lord direct our hearts into his love and his perseverance. Think about his love to start with. If our hearts can be directed into God's love, then suddenly it's his love we're thinking about and not others' love or our own love and loves. And think about what God's love is like. John 3:16. God's love is a giving love to be received. God's love, 99:1, is a pursuing love to be caught by. God's love, according to the whole of the Old Testament, is steadfast, is persistent, and is persevering. My love's not. Other people's love is not. But God's love is. Paul prays for the Thessalonians, and he wants them to pray for one another, and he wants us to pray for one another. May our hearts be directed into God's love, consumed by his giving love, his pursuing love, his steadfast love, his persistent love, his persevering love, that we're captured by it so that we can live our lives out in the day-to-day. lives that we face. May God's love direct our hearts not just into God's love, but into Christ's perseverance. I think one of the best passages to go to think of Christ's perseverance for us is Hebrews 12, 1-3. It's the endurance of Jesus for us and the perseverance of Jesus for us. And so in actual fact, Paul is saying, pray for Christ's perseverance to be directed into his perseverance before you begin to think, what does it mean for me to persevere tomorrow? To be reminded that he has persevered for me and he is persevering for me. And so the phrases in Hebrews 12 that relate to Jesus' perseverance are these. For the joy that was set before him, that's your changed heart and my changed heart. He endured the cross. Or verse 3. He endured such opposition from sinners, me included. But he's ready to persevere and endure for my heart change. For my mind to be set on him. And when we see Christ's perseverance for us, then and only then do we hear the exhortation to persevere ourselves. And even when it comes to persevering ourselves, we still need his help. Hebrews 12, 1-3 puts it this way then. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that eats so easily entangles. Is that easy? Well, not without his help. Let us run with the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Is that easy? Well, not without his help. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that we might not grow weary or lose heart. It's interesting that Paul says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. I would add for us to pray, and I think it's intended in what he was saying as well, because he was living not in the day of Jesus anymore. He was living in the day of the presence of Jesus' Spirit and the Holy Spirit. And so when you think about it, for us to throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, to live a life that doesn't grow weary and lose heart, to run the race of perseverance, requires the indwelling and enabling of the Holy Spirit, the living presence of Jesus, the Shepherd King, ever present with us, teaching us truth, guiding us into truth, directing and leading our lives into godliness. Can I suggest to you an application? A simple prayer. May the Lord direct our hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. It's a good idea, is it not? To be praying that sort of prayer for one another. As we say to one another, I need you. I need your prayers. And I need you to pray for me, that my life would be directed into God's love, Christ's perseverance, so that I might continue to live for Jesus. So that my direction in life would be fixed in him. So that when the bumps in the road come, I have someone to remind me that he's faithful. When I've got my nose flat against the wall thinking it's the end, I've got someone to remind me he's faithful. And I peel my nose off the wall and I say, pray for me that God would direct me into his love and his perseverance. And might you find help as you ask for prayer and as you pray for one another. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word and its truth. And Lord, our prayer for one another tonight is that you would direct our hearts into your love, into the perseverance of our Savior, enabled and by and through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, kindled in our hearts by your living word. Might we know what it is to hear you speak, promise to be with us, and walk beside us as we live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.